I bid you all good evening. We've got a good MRI with us here on a Sunday night, and I appreciate that very much. Appreciate your interest in spiritual things. And as you be out with us here tonight at the Parkville Church of Christ, we've got visitors among us. Welcome.
We're glad that you're here. We're very excited about what
we're doing here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. We're glad you're
able to be out with us here this evening, to be a part of our worship service. Hope you come out and be with us again and again. We want you to understand that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible, the Word of God. We believe that it is, as it reports to be, that very thing, the words of God. The words of God that Jesus one time said will judge us in the last day, John 12 and verse 48. And so we appreciate the fact that I'm going to bring forth my lesson here this evening, that I'm going to utilize the PowerPoint here behind me, and I'm going to provide you with God for everything I've got to say here tonight, so you might know from where it is that we're gathering these things.
In the book of Acts chapter 19, verses 13
through 16 is one of my favorite stories, where my favorite Jews have the thing of the idea, hey, we kind of like what Paul does. Paul goes around and he casts out these demons, and we're going to start doing that. And so these seven sons of Sceva go to this man who has a demon and says that by the name of
Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, come on out. And the devil
there at that time asks a very important question. He makes a statement first. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know.
Phrase and that little question here this evening. I want you to appreciate here this evening that all of us are known by something.
The wise man said in the book of Ecclesiastes
chapter 7 and verse
1, a good name is better than precious ointment. In the book of Proverbs 20 and verse 11, the wise man says, even a child is known in his doings, whether they be good or whether they be right. And so this evening, what I'd like to talk to us about here this evening as we close this day of worship, as we begin and we meet, I'd like to bring forth this lesson.
To help us
be a little introspective here
just for a moment in regards to ourselves and
who are we when it comes to other people?
When they think about us, I've talked about in the past, I probably in the last 20 years as a gospel preacher, I'd hate to venture a guess at how many funerals that I've done. And I intend and typically
like to eulogize
guys, good sayings about the folks that has deceased.
The
family members, and I just ask them, who
were these people?
What are some things
about that you can tell me? What are some of the stories? Who were they? What would you want people to say
about you? For instance, would any of these things be said? This person was a Bible student.
You know, in the book of 2 Timothy 2, in verse 15, Paul said, study and show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed.
Dividing the word of truth.
We are exhorted
to study the word of God. Jesus in Matthew 4,
verse 4, we study here this morning, when he was tempted, said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
You and I must feed upon the word of God.
Bread is not enough. Supper on Sunday morning, Sunday at lunch, that's just not enough. We must feed upon the word of God. Are we a Bible student?
In the book of 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that might grow thereby. I need to get in myself a desire to feed upon the word of God. That this is something
that I wish to do. When someone has a Bible question, do folks think of you? In my family, if somebody wants to know what the Bible has to say about something, they call my dad. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Are you known as a Bible student? How about
this? Are you known
as a peacemaker? In the book of Matthew 5, in verse 9, I read, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are you one who seeks peace in your family? Are you one who seeks peace in your community?
Are you one that is seeking
to
bring about peace in the local church? In the book of
Proverbs 13, verse 10, I read, where
there is no pride,
contentions cease. Isn't that interesting?
That where people will give up their pride, or at least someone will give up their pride,
contentions can cease. Are you that type of individual? Are you a peacemaker verse 8. If at all possible, live at peace with all men. In Romans 14, verse 9, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And look at Hebrews 12, verse 14. If at all possible, then you live at peace with everybody and be holy.
For without
such, we shall never see God. Jesus I know and Paul I know. But who are you? Many people are unknown by their cantankerousness, always wanting to fuss or fight. Who are you? Are you a peacemaker? Do you make peace here at the Clarksville Church of Christ? How about you in business? Who are you? Peacemakers.
Say something else.
Are you merciful or forgiving? In the book of Matthew 5, verse 7, what are we studying? What we
know of is the Beatitudes. And here's another one.
Matthew 5, 7.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain
mercy. In the book of Matthew 6 and verse 14, as Jesus is right dead in the middle of that great Sermon on the Mount, he said, you forgive every man his trespass, your Father which is in heaven will forgive you. But if you will not forgive
every man his trespass, neither will your Father. I want you to understand that what God there is saying, if he's saying anything, is that by whatever
measuring stick I measure against the other guy now,
that's going to be measured up against
me. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I am a hard guy to offend. And believe me, people have tried. I'll tell you one of the reasons why that is. And that is because when it is all said and done,
I want God to forgive me. I've done a lot of bad things. I've
offended people. And I want to be forgiven. How about you? Are you merciful and forgiving? Do people count on, or can they count on, your forgiveness? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Who are you? Are you merciful and forgiving? The folks are sitting around the world
talking about that. That kind of, are you easily entreated?
No grudges.
How about this? Are you faithful?
I love the phrase, a pre-sermon sometimes entitled, Phrases I Like Said of Me. I love Colossians 1, verse 2. When he talks here about the church of Colossae, with the faithful brethren. Are you known as a faithful brother of Jesus Christ? Forsake ye not the assembly of yourselves.
What's
that? How the Son is, but rather exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. I appreciate so much the fact that you're here on a Sunday. I know there's so many other places that you could be. But the fact that you've chosen to be here tonight says a lot about you and your love for God.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate your faithfulness.
Faithful brethren. People are known. Even a child is known by his goings, whether they're good or whether they be right.
The Apostle
Paul is talking about our responsibility to one another to be able to grow and how every joint is important in regards to that. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that by which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, makes increase in the body and is edifying of itself in love. Everybody is important, and I need you to be in your place. I need you to understand that there are no unimportant parts of my physical body. They're not a piece of my body here tonight. I'm going to volunteer for you to cut off. I just don't want to do it. Because they're all important to me. And what I want you to understand, that
every member
of the local body of our Lord
Jesus
Christ is important. And I need you to stand in your place. I need you to be faithful. The
Lord needs you
to be faithful. Your brethren need you to be faithful. God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him, spirit and truth. I want to see your love and your desire for the word of God. Are you like David? He said, I was glad when they said, come,
let us go to the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1.
I got to tell you, the
first word that I ever
did, there was a brother there. We weren't a big group.
kind of hated it. Few of us are in a courtroom in regards to something has to do with the property. And this brother is on the stand. And I'm thinking,
who are these people? Now, this is what we look at, right? This is where everyone gets their impression.
And I'm sitting there and I'm watching, I'm looking, and I'm listening. The prosecutor, the defense attorney, and I don't know which one he was, he said, services.
Without blinking, he said, every time that door's open. Do you know why? He was. He was. And I had a whole new appreciation for him. Faithful brethren. Who are you? Could that be said of you? If you got that question?
And I love him. How about this?
Murmur and complain. Some people do nothing but murmur and complain. Take them a cool glass of water
on a hot day and they'll say, whoop, took you long enough.
Right?
Nothing is ever
good enough.
They will murmur and they will complain about anything that has been.
No good deed will go unpunished. Paul said in verse 8 and 10, verse 10, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Philippians 2 and 14. Let all things be done without murmurings and disputings. Some places can't
do anything without murmurings and disputings.
Somebody makes a suggestion,
somebody's going to murmur and
complain about it. Song leader sings too many songs, too many verses, with too slow a
beat, and people want to murmur and complain.
Is he still talking? And we want to murmur and complain? Murmuring and complaining. Jude 16, these are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lusts. Some wish to whine and murmur and complain about other people. And I gotta tell you, I preach another sermon sometimes entitled Why We Lose Our
Young People.
And I am convinced that one of the reasons
why we've lost young people
over the years is
not at the worship service itself,
but on that
drive home from it. As brethren have murmured and complained
about those at services, those who lead in services, brothers and sisters in Christ, they profess to love and set right beside.
And our young people said, if that's Christianity, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?
And I'm asking you that question here tonight. Who are you?
Are you a murmurer and a complainer? About this one.
Gossip. The book of Proverbs 16, verse 28, a whisperer separateth chiefest of friends. Oh, I've lived long enough now to have seen that. Where people who will tell a story will separate friends and families. The words of a talebearer are as words that go into the innermost parts of the body. They are literally like a sword,
is the idea that someone who takes a spear and stabs
it on the inner part of someone's
body.
That's what a gossip is like. But I'm not
a gossip.
I only tell true stories.
You don't have to tell lies to be a gossip. All we have to be are tale
bearers. In Proverbs 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a tale bearer reveals secrets. Do not meddle with such a one. A tale-bearer reveals secrets, but he that is faithful conceals a matter. Have you ever been a part of a group
that you didn't really know what was going on, but you knew who did? tell
parents, do we gossip? Do we say things about others, whether they're true or not, that maybe ought not to be said? I like this one.
Are we a builder up or a tear down? I tried to see if that grammatically was correct. I don't know.
Put it through the grammar check on the internet and never came back.
Are you a builder up or a tear down? Do you understand what I'm saying there? You know, I'm in the construction business, and I can remember when I first started out of Purdue and was in Indianapolis, and there was a whole lot of renovation going on. And we were tearing down things, and we were building things up. And this is one thing that I noticed. There was one crew that went in and tore things down. But there was a totally up. Ones
who built things up, they made a whole lot of money. You see, anybody can tear that down. Anybody can be negative. Anybody can find fault. It's somebody special that can build things up. There was a man named Joseph, or Joses, in the Bible. Do you remember him? We find him in Acts chapter 4. You remember that guy? You don't remember that. You remember him as Barnabas. Remember Barnabas? His real name is Joseph. The apostles called him Barnabas because of who he was.
He was the son of encouragement. How about you?
If the apostles were around today and they worked around with us for 3 or 4 months, would they change your name as somebody that built?
Out of
repeating this story in Acts chapter 19 over the years. Jesus, I know. All of them. Who are you? And I'm asking you to consider that in regards to yourself tonight. Who are you? And finally, let me ask you this. Are you members of the Lord's church?
The first gospel sermon that was proclaimed in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 began this way. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. And the Apostle Peter began to preach about Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, risen from the dead, seated now at the right hand of God. And in verse 36, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that the same Jesus whom you crucified, God made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Save yourself from this wicked generation. And I read in verse 41, those that gladly received his word were baptized. And in verse 47, and the Lord added them to the church daily, such as were being saved. Folks who obey the gospel, the Lord adds to the church. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You do not join the church to be saved. The Lord joins you. Into the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. By one spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. That body is the church. I read, he's head over the body of the church, Colossians 1 and verse 18, Ephesians 1 and verse 22. He's head over the church, which is his body. The body is the church. The church is the body. I'm baptized into that one body the Lord asked me to. That same body of Jesus Christ. And I ask you here this evening, are you a member of that church? Listen, many people pride themselves in being members of many things. I don't know how many obituaries that I've read over a fallen friend or brother and sister in Christ, a mother or father, a son or a daughter, a brother and sister, EPA, the Masons, the Elks, and Goziers, and Shriners. And they have some great pride in regards to the membership of that. But I'm asking you here this evening, are you a member of the Lord's church? 19. Are you merciful and forgiving? Are you a faithful brother? Do you murmur and complain? Do you gossip? Greg, do you build things up?
Do you tear things down? Are you a member of the Lord's church? We'll spend some time and think about these things tonight. Make proper application of your life. I think our time is spent very properly. Do you agree? You've listened well tonight. I appreciate that very much.
We're about to stand to sing a
song of invitation and courage tonight.
Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to the words of Jesus when he said, go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes in it.